Just to be very clear, when Father Conway and I tease each other in homilies, it comes from the fact that we've known each other for over a decade, and it's kind of the same spirit that many of you probably have with your own siblings. There's a little bit of healthy teasing that goes on. And so I understand last week, Father Conway didn't really want to share that he spoke well of C.S. Lewis and some of his writings. I'm convinced that I am, well, I'm not actually convinced, but I'm going to try and convince Father Conway to enjoy C.S. Lewis as much as I do. And one of the great reasons that C.S. Lewis sort of grabbed my heart when I was young is precisely because of what is behind these readings today, especially the gospel. The story of the Transfiguration is incredible. And it's incredible in a lot of ways, but it's really actually kind of beautiful, the insight that it gives us into our own hearts and how we respond to God's glory. We have this moment that Peter speaks up in seeing the glory of God, seeing the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, seeing the law and the prophets there. And so he says, let's build tents here. Let's stay here. This is the fulfillment of everything that we have been waiting for. And on some level, he has gotten it absolutely right. This is the fulfillment of everything that the people of Israel, that every human heart has longed for right in front of them. And when he says, you know, let's build a tent, this is not just like a place to camp out. Tents are also, they're places of worship. These, let's settle here for worship. This is enough, God. It's enough to be here to worship you. But it's not. It's not enough. It's not enough for God. God wants to give more. And that is so often where we ourselves fall short, get caught up in the wrong stuff. C.S. Lewis described it as an inconsolable longing that's in our hearts. He says, if I find within myself a desire that the world cannot satisfy, then it must mean that I am made for another world. We experience this in countless ways. If we think of the best moments in our life, they aren't perfect moments. We wish that they could last a little bit longer. We wish that maybe one other person was there with us, or maybe we wish that one person wasn't there with us. If we think of the good old days, we could go back to those good old days and realize maybe they weren't so good. We were worried about stuff, stressed out, rushed, harried. We didn't have the chance to enjoy what we now remember as the good old days. And so all of this sort of reveals that we're never totally at home in this world, but we are desperately looking for home. So Lewis describes it as kind of a perpetual homesickness. And we really, for the sake of our spiritual lives, need to be aware of that homesickness, because we can react to it in a number of ways that ultimately limit what God wants to do. We see the profound generosity of God to Abram. Go out, look at the stars in the sky, count them. That will be like the number of your descendants. Right? There is no limit here to the generosity of God. And in fact, there's a kind of secondary but deeper generosity. This practice of taking the animals and splitting them in two and walking between them, this is sealing a covenant. But if we read the whole story, Abram doesn't finish. He doesn't complete the covenant. But God does. And in some ways, this is like the whole story of Israel, of the church, of us. Sure, we've entered into a covenant with God, but we don't always hold up our end. But God's response is not to split Abram in two, which is generally what the conditions of a covenant like that are, but instead is to complete it himself, to already there take on the weakness, the failure, the shortcomings of his people out of love. Peter's impulse, let's build a tent, let's stay here. Or the shortcomings that we're soon going to see very clearly in the very same apostles who have seen this event in response to now the sufferings of Jesus. These are really the human reactions that we have. Let's start with what we know is coming, right? They'll go down from the mountain and start heading to Jerusalem. That they will see Jesus now not glorified, but beaten and mocked and murdered. Or really, they won't see it because they'll run away, all except John. How do we respond to those moments of desolation when we meet the cross and things do not look good? There's a certain power that the evil one tries to take on, to whisper to us, to shout at us. See, all of that was imaginary. What's lasting is the darkness. Or when we sin, you think you're worthy of the sight of the Messiah? Really, you? And so the darkness can tempt us to thinking that that's all that there really is for us. Or we can be like Peter in response to goodness. This is enough, Lord. I've got everything that I want, everything that I need. I'm great. But God desires to give more. God gives more, in fact. And so if we attach ourselves to the tents that we pitch in this life, even very good things, God will uproot them. Say, no, I've got more for you. So how do we respond? How do we respond to both of those things? So Jesus, in some of the other presentations of the story of the Transfiguration, cautions the apostles, Peter, James, and John, not to speak of what they've seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And it's clear they don't understand it. There is a part of them that figures something has gone wrong, because the one we saw glorified is now dead. But brothers and sisters, we know that the Son of Man is risen from the dead. We live after that, so that good news speaks, shouts into that darkness. Do we let it? When we face down the darkness and the discouragement, the desolation, and the sinfulness of what's inside of us or what's outside of us, do we let the truth that the Son of Man is risen from the dead overcome that darkness? The next time we find ourselves weighed down with that, maybe place yourself in prayer on that mountain with Peter, James, and John, with that knowledge that what God gives them the grace to see and to hear is what we live. And keep doing that in response to the darkness that's there in our own hearts, the discouragement that's there. Let that truth shine into that darkness. Because God has more that he wants to give. And it's good for us to also look at, what are the good things in my life? What are my tents? And to examine, do I love them the right way? Or am I attached to them? And a way to test this is to imagine, what if we didn't have them? What if, I don't know, a derecho came along and knocked down our beautiful churches? What if the people that we love were taken away from us by distance, by death? What if we lost our job? What if we lost our income? What if the world went to war? These things are not to stir up needless fear or anxiety. That's the work of the evil one. But instead, it's to reveal our attachments. Because if in response to those fears, we go, no, I've got to shore up the tent. I got to keep everybody away, including you, God. There's the place where God wants to give us more, wants to call us to more. And if we're not willing to let go of that, we may find that he does as he has always done and smashes our idols. Not because he's cruel, not because he's unfeeling, not because he doesn't understand, but because he understands and loves us beyond our capacity to imagine or to receive. He doesn't just want us dwelling in tents. The words that the Father speaks to him, "This is my beloved Son." We know that in baptism, those words now are true for us also. We are God's beloved adopted sons and daughters. We have been given more than just looking at the Messiah. We've been given the chance to be one with the Messiah. And so God will not stop until we have opened ourselves to the capacity to receive that gift, to receive and live into that oneness. So yes, that can frighten us. That might make us draw back. But that hesitation is good for us to face down in this season of Lent. That Lent is not New Year's resolution part two for Catholics. It's not a chance for us to show just how tough we are and persevering. It's a chance to say, what must I let go of to receive everything that God desires to give me, including and especially union with himself? So wherever we find ourselves, in the darkness, hiding in our tents, in awe of the Lord, let's take one more step closer to him today. One more step in openness, trusting, believing in his absolute goodness and desire to not stop giving until he has given us his very self.